You hear that? That's those sleigh bells. Christmas time, people. We're on our way to a new Christmas season. And we here at the bar want to make sure you take full advantage of an awesome opportunity. If you go to missionaware.com and type in the code BAR, you will get a discount on your swag. And when I tell you, they have something for everybody, from your grandparents all the way down to that coworker that you rarely even speak to. You can give the gift of theology. Yeah, that's right. They have some t-shirts with some theologians on them, some good sayings, good conversation starters. They also have mugs and pads and journals. I mean, just so many things. So go right now to missionaware.com and make sure you type in the code BAR for the bar to get a discount and also to support our podcast. And because you know, time's running out. Before you know that, St. Nick and all them boys will be coming through, ringing them sleigh bells. Y'all have a good one. Peace.
The Bar, Biblical and Reforming.
For those of us who claim Christ, our authority is the Scripture. For those who don't claim Christ or who claim another, I'd like for them to, we challenge them to explain a standard of truth apart from Scripture. Explain the nature of good and evil apart from the Scripture. You have no context, there's no justification for it, except for the whims of men. And so, man, we stand upon the foundation of the Scripture, sola scriptura, Scripture alone, man.
Doctrine. Yeah, sola scriptura.
Sola scriptura.
Scripture alone. Yeah, that means Scripture alone. What's your eternal situation for the age of creation? For he laid the foundation, was a plan for expiation. Christ became propitiation, meaning he switched his places on the cross for our disgraces. In the crowd, he saw our faces. Just...
Welcome, everybody, to the bar. It's your boy, Dwayne, and we're in the building. So excited to have a special guest on today. And I guess what makes it even better is this is a guy from my own state, a brother that I met online, part of the Reformed family. Introduced to you all, Mr. Derek. David Finkley. Look, I just said before right, we man. Started, I didn't want to mess his name up. David Finkley, man. What's up, brother?
What's going on, bro? Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, man. Thank you.
Yes, sir, man. Look, I apologize. I'm worried about my man last name and messed up his first name.
It's no problem, man.
Those that know me know that, man. I have fun, man. And all this podcast is really about, Dave, man, is basically exposing people to resources that's out there, people that's out there making moves, man. And you really right. caught my eye, man, through Instagram and YouTube, man. So first, kind of introduce yourself to the people and, you know, tell them, your background, you know, not your zodiac sign, none of that, man, but just tell them a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, again, thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it. It's a pleasure to be here. And yeah, my name is David Finkley, and I live here in Sumter, South Carolina. And it was a pleasure to find out that you were in South Carolina, because I'm really big on finding people in my area or close to me who have the same mind and the same anticipation about or expectation of learning certain things and learning the Bible. So it was really good to have you and connect with you. But I've been in church all my life. My dad is a pastor. My dad has been a minister ever since I can remember. And I just was saturated with the whole, you know, church environment and the whole church and atmosphere, really. My life is centered around church. And so as I got older, I originally wanted to graduate and go to school for business. I did a semester or two in business. And just one day, like a ton of bricks, something just hit me. It was like, you know, you need to learn and understand what you believe and why you believe it. And right at that moment, I decided to change my major to religion. And at the time, I was going to Liberty mm-hmm. University, so I just changed my major from business to religion. And I've been stuck in studying theology ever since. That was about maybe 2008, 2009, so it's been a while mm-hmm. now. But yeah, I mean, I just really, you know, it's one thing that I've learned in my life is that, you know, you can know things because people tell you, and you can know things because you've been around it a lot. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you can have that type of experience and really don't know much at all. And I found that I didn't really know as much as I thought I did, because I never took the time to really study things for myself and get a clear understanding of what I believe and why I believed it. So it really just drove me to study as hard as I could, as much as I could, to just try to be able to tell people and help people understand what I believe and why I believe it. And that just went, that just led and trickled on down to where I am now. I started teaching in my local church. I ended up graduating from Liberty University, and I wrote a couple books. And now I'm assistant pastor. I'm helping my dad in pastoring in a local ministry in King Street, South Carolina. So we're really pushing to try to understand the Bible as clearly as possible. That's the main objective and purpose of us getting together. And it's a very interesting journey, but it's very fruitful and very beneficial for me and everyone involved. So it's a lot more I could probably say, but that's just a glimpse of, you know, my life and how I got to where I am today.
Wow, that's awesome, man. That is awesome. Yeah. The thing about, you know, theology, like you said, and my listeners know this, because I say it all the time, you know, it's, like you said, it's one thing to let somebody else tell you, but it's another thing to study it for yourself. And to you know, because a lot of times what I've noticed in the body, especially amongst, you know, African-Americans, is we believe the sovereignty of God. We just don't know why. You know what I mean?
We
believe certain doctrinal, I guess, statements, but we don't know. We can't explain it. You know what I mean? We know these things and but we just can't explain it or whatever. So I think that's awesome, man. You know, I guess talk about, you know, obviously this has been a journey and we got a lot to touch, because as you were saying, I was like, we can talk about this, talk about that. All right. So talk about, I guess, what was the thing that, I guess, inspired you or started you in the direction of, you know, the YouTube videos and the, you know, the teaching on the social media level?
Yeah. That was a big, leap in my life, because I'm a real, if you get to know me, you think I'm a, you know, outgoing person. And it, once we gather, develop a relationship, and I am pretty outgoing. We can talk and have a good time, but naturally I'm very quiet. I'm very reserved and very shy. So, just to get out there and get on YouTube was a big, big, big thing for me, because I'm not used to being outgoing in that way. But I was really compelled and really provoked to try to reach as many people as I could. And one of the things that I discovered is that, I heard you mention earlier the African-American community. In our community, in my tradition, at least among people that I'm around the most, it's kind of hard. We don't really take theology as seriously as as other ethnic groups, I put it that way. You know, it seems as though we just kind of go with the bare minimum. We just kind of accept what is handed to us, and we don't really take, you know, theology and study and independent study as seriously as we could. And you know, I just wanted to try to develop any type of community. It didn't have to be African Americans or anything like that. I just wanted to find people anywhere that would engage in the study and in the habits of trying to grow in the Bible and grow in theology, as I was trying to do. And you know, I just got my camera, I got some equipment, and I said, you know, I'm going to strike out and do this. And it was very productive. You know, it began with the Instagram page. And one day I was on the way to work, and I was like, you know, I just need to find some people, you know, that will, you know, discuss some things with me that may come up in my mind or some things that I may be studying. And it's not that I didn't have, you know, people around me, because I really do have a good base of people around me that will study. It's just that, you know, we're all busy and we can't always talk on the phone as much as we would like. And with Instagram and social media, you know, everything is at your disposal. You can be, I mean, there'd be days I sit and I would talk with people over Instagram all day long, or over YouTube, and converse back and forth, you know. And so it really helped me personally to grow. And it also gave me an opportunity to try to sharpen myself in the things that I believe. Because one thing that I began to embrace as a concept of growing biblically and spiritually, is that if I can be challenged on what I believe, I feel like it'll help me personally. And that's one of the main reasons why, you know, I wanted to put the YouTube videos out there, is because, you know, as big as YouTube is, you're going to find somebody out there that doesn't agree with you.
And oh, yes.
You can't really, you know, so if you can't really, you know, justify what you believe and why you believe it, you know, then, you know, you kind of need to reevaluate what it is that you believe in. So, I mean, I was very serious, man, about knowing what I knew and believing what I believed, and I wanted to put it to the test, and that's what my YouTube videos were. That was the main objective for me putting the YouTube videos out there. So
yeah, that definitely social media is the perfect place to to run into those that don't agree and don't mind telling you.
right, absolutely. I mean,
that is the perfect
sometimes, but
oh man, I got so many trolls. I almost started naming them, man. I'm telling you, bro. But yeah, that I agree, bro. You're right, because I have a team, man, that actually this podcast came out of, and we have a page called Be Not Deceived, and you know we were out, you know. We was out throwing haymakers, man, and we would get books. And, I mean, you know, people would type the whole afternoon refuting things that we were saying. So, you did right. You went the right path.
right, yeah.
When it comes to being challenged, man. So, I guess, you know, in a way, that's a form of apologetics, man. And that's definitely needed. I guess I didn't even know this is a part of your repertoire, man. But as far as apologetics go, what's your approach? You know, are you familiar with Seiko Wood? It's on Facebook.
I am. He did a debate with the Prosperity Movement guy, Fred Price.
Oh, yeah, Fred Price. Yep. Yeah, Seiko Wood. That's a good buddy of mine. But if you know Seiko on Twitter. He's a beast, boy.
right.
He don't play.
I've seen him on YouTube a bit, and I kind of after I watched that debate, I didn't really follow up with him. But I, based on the debate that I did see with him, and I can't remember Fred Price's son name, but
Junior.
I thought he's a junior. Okay, but I thought a lot of him, man, because he was really. He was really adamant about sticking to the Bible, sticking to the context, you know what I mean? Making sure we go, you know, follow the proper hermeneutics, whereas many other times that's exploited and not really considered when interpreting the Bible. So,
that's my dude, man. But we mess with him sometimes about his method of, I guess, apologetics or whatever. I don't mess with you, Seiko. That's Virgil. If you're listening, man, don't come get me. But anyway, so when you are approached by, you know, these, you know, people that's coming at you, what's kind of your thought process and how do you take this opportunity and what do you do with those opportunities when people approach you or willing to combat what you posted?
I sat under a great apologist. He's a local guy in South Carolina. He's have an apologetics class every week. And I would go and listen to him. And one thing he put in my mind as I was getting into theology and particularly apologetics is that whenever we disagree, we don't have to hate each other. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I know sometimes people, when they don't agree with you, they automatically build within themselves this conflict, you know what I mean, as though you're their enemy. They have to hate you because you don't agree with them.
Right.
And I don't care. I just made up my mind that when talking about theology or talking about the Bible or religion, I'm not going to create any enemies because we don't believe the same thing. Because, you know, I've grown up and I believe things, and I know people didn't believe the same way we believe growing up, and it was just kind of looked at as a terrible thing. And I've grown up now, and I've gotten a little older, and my view of theology and certain biblical things, it's changed a bit.
Right.
But I don't want to look at someone as an enemy because I've now. My thought pattern about certain things have changed. You know, I want to be able to sit down with you, talk with you, and rationalize things out and let you understand why I believe the way I believe. And I want to hear why you believe the way you believe.
Mm-hmm,
and I believe if we talk on that basis, then we don't have to leave enemies. We don't have to leave, you know, fighting and fussing at one another.
Right.
You know,
right.
We can leave friends and just say, you know what, we don't agree. And hopefully by me maintaining that relationship and maintaining that camaraderie, that we can continue to discuss things in the future, and then maybe, because this is my thing, it's about getting the truth, you know what I mean? I don't want to say that I did this because it's about proving who's right or who's wrong. I just want to know what's right or what's wrong. And if I'm wrong, then this conversation or this relationship has helped me. Mm-hmm. Or if you're wrong, it has helped you. It's just about getting down the truth. And I don't think that, you know, it should be so hostile to where we forget that the main purpose of dialogue and apologetics is to just simply find out what the truth is.
Right.
And,
right.
So when somebody comes to me and they, you know, they don't agree with me, and I've been on Instagram, and people would literally, you know, just start, they start the conversation off hostile by calling names.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's, you know, you can just feel that vibe, you know, by the comments and the way that it's expressed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just make sure that I discipline myself enough so that, you know, when I'm responding, you know, I'm sure in what I'm saying, but I'm not disrespectful, even though that has been dealt with me. And it has helped, you know what I mean? I got some people that don't agree with me too much, but we're the best of friends. We can get along and we can talk. And so I try to utilize that method as much as possible.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, when people come at me on my Instagram, I just go into sarcastic mode. I'm sorry.
Right.
I do, man. I do. I make a meme about it. I know. Lord, y'all pray for me. I get real sarcastic, man, because I posted something right before the election about, you know, I can never vote for someone that agrees to abortion, whatever. And, like, I had all these women, unfollowed. So I made a video. I was like, you guys got to announce that you're unfollowing me? Okay. Thank you. And then I said, well, yeah, I guess I would have noticed it. Well, maybe not. I do have like 14,000 followers, so I might have missed it. So thank you for your
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. I'm to the point now where, you know, when I had maybe about 100, 150 followers, you know, I would kind of be upset when people –
right,
you know, stop following. But now, and I mean, it's not, that's not boastful or bragging. It's just that, you know, you just have to be sure, and whatever it is you, and this is the way this is what I've discovered. I've discovered that whatever it is that you believe, and this is for anybody,
mm-hmm.
it's so easy because of social media for you to find somebody that will follow you. It's no need to compromise yourself.
No way.
For followers, you know,
yeah.
Or for people or for attention, you know, you just need to, you know, really be convicted by what you believe mm-hmm. and declare it and put it out there. And
that's real,
whatever,
man.
It's meant for, you know, it'll attract them. And if not, you know, Godspeed, you know, so.
Exactly. Yeah, that's real. And, you know, that actually, I wanted to mention this as well, man. That's the thing I love about social media. Like you were saying, you know, the opportunity to, you know, not only on that side as far as, you know, people are coming at you, but also the opportunity to connect with people that you wouldn't normally even meet in normal circumstances that are like-minded, you know. And I know that there are a lot of groups I'm a part of, man, on Facebook, you know, that is so cool. And just in general, man, I can't walk down the street and see these caliber of people, these people that think like I think, man. So I'm definitely grateful for that, man. And actually, it's funny because recently I've met some brothers actually in Greenville that are some brothers, man. And reformed and everything, man. I'm like, this is so awesome. You know, I should have been did this broadcast.
But I tell you, man, social media, it takes away any secrets, man. It reveals the best of the best. And, you know, I thank God for podcasts like this, man, that gives us the opportunity to connect and get together and talk like this, because it's definitely necessary and it's needed, man, all over, especially in this state particularly, you know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
For me personally, living here, we need more of this a lot in this state. So,
yes, sir. Yes, sir. Bro. Yeah, we're gonna keep pushing, man. We're gonna keep pushing.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate that. Yes, sir. So, you mentioned that you have some books, man. You know, I'm all about promoting, man. What have you released, man? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. I wrote a book. I wrote two books last year. I believe it was last year. The first one was The Bible and Its Message, which, gives us different parameters of reading the Bible, how to study the Bible, and it kind of goes into common situations that are used that may not be all the way correct or misunderstandings about the Bible. You know, mm-hmm. I found out in talking to people, you know, a lot of people don't realize that the Bible, the English Bible, it wasn't originally written in English. And I know that seems very, you know, simple.
No, that, you know? I know what you mean.
and I'm not saying that, you know, but it's just certain things like that people need to know in order, the historicity behind Christianity and historicity mm-hmm. behind the Bible and how it got here and how we got in the English language and things like that, you know. I thought about the people that I'm around the most, and I thought about, you know, the state that I'm in, you know, the city that I'm in, and the people that I come in contact with from day to day, and things that I could, information, just simple information, that may seem elementary to people who study this, but it is something that a lot of people, the masses, don't really know. And so I wrote that book to kind of, you know, inform people, and it was really good. A lot of people responded back positively, saying that they certain things they didn't know, and it helped them to understand the Bible more, and it actually provoked them to study more. And then later on that year, I believe it was maybe around November, December of last year, I released a book called We've Been in Church Too Long, and that was just basically a book to kind of combat the complacency of Christians, you know, just being in the church building. Not really engaging in the worldwide responsibility that we as believers have. And so that book was really good. It's a little short book, but it was very well received. And I really enjoyed writing that book because it was just like a way of me venting, you know what I mean? Because there's so much going on in the world, and it seems as though the believers or the Christians don't really understand their position and what they could be doing, what they should be doing, you know, to represent, you know, the body of Christ. So it was just a book to, you know, encourage people. Don't just be stuck in the church, you know what I mean? Get out into the world and do something, because you are Christ's representative, you know. So,
right.
You know, that it was really fun to write, and I hope
good.
People are as blessed as I was in writing it.
I feel you, man. They sound real good. My next question is, how do I get my copy? I mean, you know, I ain't gonna ask for no freebie or nothing, but you know, I did bring you on the show, but we're gonna change the subject.
I mean, man, I'll send you a free copy, but I mean, thanks for the plug, man. I'll put it out there. It's on Amazon, and
sweet.
You can order it from Barnes and Noble. You can order it from Books a Million. Anywhere that where major books are sold, you can order it online, and you can get your copy there. Or you can order me. You can contact me at DB, or excuse me, that's my photography email address, but my email address is dfinkley, F-I-N-K-L-E-A, 521 at gmail.com, and I'll be sure to send you a copy of your book. So
yeah, we'll put all of that in the description. I'm going to get all the links from you so they can, you know, click the link and get that book. Make sure you guys get the book, man, and holler at them, let them know you heard it here on the bar. Make sure you do that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You.
Oh yeah, most deaf. So, man, you know, we talked about YouTube, we talked about a little bit about social media, we talked about the book or whatever. You said you recently acquired a kind of assistant pastor's position. Talk about, I guess, application on that side. I don't know as much responsibility, or I don't know how much responsibility you have, but you know, a lot of times in theology, you know, you always hear about the extreme where people just, you know, they love theology but hate people, you know,
or
they're just cold in theology or whatever. So talk about, I guess, your application of your study and all of that, and then also talk about, I guess, what struggles you have with that, or if there are any.
Yeah. That's a really good question, man, because this is something that's pretty new to me. I actually started helping out in the pastoral ministry about 2 years ago. I started in Manning. We had the flood that came through in South Carolina, and that kind of wiped everything out there. And so we just went to King Street, where, because we had people from Manning and people in King Street, we just kind of combined them together. And, you know, pastoring and being involved in pastoral ministry is a very challenging responsibility. I wouldn't even make light of it, because I think so many times people see pastoral ministry or being in that position as being glamorous and famous. And it's really not that way if you take the Bible seriously. You know, you're really sacrificing yourself, you know, 100% of the time. And I have a family. When I got married in 2014, my dad put me in pastoral ministry the next week after I got back out of my honeymoon order.
Oh, wow.
And so it's like we've been in this position since we've been married, and it's kind of like, you know, it's very rewarding. I told my dad whenever when I was ordained, and I told my wife this actually, that I didn't want to just receive a piece of paper and not be doing anything. So it's not as if I didn't expect to be working, And I expected everything I'm in right now. I just wanted to make sure I did it correctly. And there's two things that I find to be very difficult, and then I give the positive side of it. The difficulty is finding that audience. When I got into it, a guy visited my church who I was a longtime friend with. He said something to me that I will never forget, and I continue to think about this to this day. He said, you're going to have to find the audience that is fitting the message that you're trying to give. And, you know, for many people, that's very easy because, and I'm not throwing any shade or anything like that.
Oh, Shay's welcome on this show.
But people, you know, they can get up and they can say anything, they draw a crowd. And I'm not that kind of preacher, you know.
Right.
I don't want to be the person that just says anything because he wants to fill seats.
Right.
I wanted to give people truth. And if you're willing to hear that, then I'm more than open to you being a part of the assembly and even coming. And even if you don't, you can come, but just know when you get there, my objective is not to, you know, impress you or excite you or any of that. I just want to give you the truth. And sometimes that's very challenging, man, because you have social media, you have TV, you have all these different forms of media outlets that is continuously pouring into people what is not truly biblical ministry and not truly the role of a pastor and not truly the position that a pastor should be teaching. So you're always trying to combat that in the minds of the people that you're trying to reach.
Right.
And sometimes it can be a little discouraging. Now, well, I will say this, though. I have found that God will always send you people that wants to know if you're willing to tell them the truth. Another friend told me, he said, if you study correctly and if you study sincerely and if you really study for the right reason, he said, God will send you people just because you're putting your heart into understanding the word of God and you're investing your time and investing your energy and just simply trying to understand the Bible as it is written. And I can say that is true. You know, that happens all the time. So, you know, it's challenging, but it's definitely rewarding. I take the approach that Paul did, and I try not to use that pedestal that society and Christendom, mainstream Christendom has created, that puts the pastor or, you know, on this great big pedestal as if he is the,
right.
you know, the mini god or the smaller god. I want to use the model that Paul used, which was, we're all fellow laborers, you know, in this ministry, and we all have different roles. We all have different, you know, things that we ought to be doing, but we're all moved by the same spirit. And so, you know, me understanding who I am as a servant, I try to be the first example
right.
to show that servant, you know, that servanthood and that mentality of being, you know, used by God and being a source or a resource to people who I'm trying to minister to. And that works really well. You know, we have a good time. Our best times is during Bible study, you know,
right, right.
because I try to take an approach where it's more along the lines of teaching ministry more than, and you know, that's kind of difficult in our tradition, you know.
Oh yeah. Because, oh yeah.
You know, people are not our people. And I say that with no, you know, ill intent, but sometimes our people are not used to being taught, you know what I mean?
Right. Right.
That's for what, how that, why that is or how that became, I don't know, but that's just the way it is. And
yeah.
truth be told, being taught is probably the best way.
It really is.
Spiritual, you know?
It really is. Yeah, I totally
that's
agree.
That's the approach I try to take. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because that is one of my partners, Terrence Barlow. He's a co-host here. He's actually kind of in the same position. His dad's a pastor. He's an associate. And he preaches probably every week. Like he preaches every week, and has transitioned, I guess, the church with his teaching, you know, to listen to teaching, number one. And then also he exposes the scriptures, you know. So he literally, you know, each week is, you know, we John 1, next week John chapter 2.
There you go.
You know, so
That's it.
And I think that in itself, man, I commend you fellas, man. I definitely hats off to y'all doing that in the midst of. Because
right.
like I said, there is so much out there, on TV, on radio, you know, this glam and it does paint a picture that, that I can definitely see that. And, you know, I came out of the charismatic world, man.
Right.
you know, I don't know if you heard my story, man, but I was in the charismatic world, you know, all the way in, you know, on staff
right.
at a mega ministry. Redemption. I don't know if you heard of Redemption. Ron Carpenter.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah. Used to be in my wife, we're on staff there, you know, wide open, flying.
Right.
You know, and that spiritually, you know, they you know, I say spiritually, quote unquote, using my finger quotation marks, but that they are, you know, deep spiritually or whatever, but theology is real shallow. And people are okay with that, you know, and I think that's the case in this whole area. I mean, even in the Bible Belt, people are okay with ankle deep theology. And I commend you, man, for being willing to talk about it, being willing to have resources and videos and things of that nature, man, to help put that out there, for sure. Now, I'll tell you, one of your videos that really helped me, and it's so funny because I literally, before this show, got a text message from a buddy of mine, and guess what his question was?
What was it?
How do you study the Bible, brother? I said, you know what?
Oh, goodness.
Let me send you this YouTube video.
I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, this helped me, man. So, for those that don't know, you don't have to give them the 30-minute spiel, man. But talk about, I guess, I'm pretty sure I know what inspired you to make that video. But just talk about that and then talk about some of the, you know, some of the bullet points. Don't give them everything, so make sure they go subscribe to your channel.
Sure.
But just give them a little teaser on that, because that, I'll be honest, man, to my listeners, this video really helped me and blessed me to I guess understand the Bible and how to practically, you know, study it. Because, you know, growing up, you know, in high school, I never studied, you know, college, I pretended to study. I didn't really believe, you know, I'm just staring at the page, you know, so that's all I know. But I love the way, you know, the different, you know, principles and the way you I guess lay it out, man. So give them a little bit of that, and then we'll get into the fun stuff when we get out of here.
Sure. Well, thanks, man. Yeah. Well, that video was inspired by a lot of things. There's two things in particular. And the first thing was, I heard you say that you were brought up in a charismatic background. I was brought up in the Pentecostal background.
Mm.
But the church organization that I'm part of, and they were really big on studying the Bible. You know, they were really big on, you know, teaching. You know, I found there was a teacher, and he that's all he did, you know. So, you know, those roots were in us, even though charismatic movement was actually coming in during that time that our organization was getting started. And even though it has actually developed a whole lot since it has, you know, first been introduced in America.
Right.
You know, that was something that's just always been a part of our makeup. But at any rate, that video was inspired by one of our teachers, one of our pastors, who, again, I referred to him, his apologetic class that he does on every week. He taught me, because, you know, most people, when they read the Bible, especially in the Western society, the first thing they want to do whenever they read the Bible is they want to find, what does the Bible mean to me? They want to find out, what is it saying to me? And most times with that intention, you do something that is almost inevitable. You're going to make some type of exploitive interpretation, because your primary intention is not to understand the Bible as it is written. Your intention is to take a letter or a document that was presented to someone else and make it your own. And that's just the rule of thumb for many people. You know what I mean? If you got a headache, you go to the Bible, find out how can you get over it. If you got marriage problems, you run to the Bible, find out how can you get out of those problems. And that's not to say that the Bible does not help you with those issues, but we have to first figure out what was the original intention of the Bible. And I found out that so many people, they just don't read the Bible that way, and it just causes them to be led into error and be led into confusion and falsehood. So I wanted to put something out there to give people a method to understand the Bible and approach the Bible first correctly by understanding the context, the date, the time, the audience, and the people that were writing the particular document or the epistle or the gospel. Consider those things first, and then build your application. Because, I'm really hanging on this now more so than ever. But Solomon says something that is so true if we really pay attention to it. He said, "There's nothing new under the sun. And one translation says that history simply repeats itself, which means that there's nothing that a human being experienced in today's time that has not been in some way, form, or fashion experienced in a prior time. And the beauty of the Bible is that it can speak to all generations of all people, all nations, all nationalities, and it can still remain consistent and true throughout all the differences that we all may face as different people. So, but you have to study it right. You can't make it a subjective analysis of your particular situation. You have to really look into the meaning of what was being written and why it was being written.
Right.
And the Bible will surely speak to you and give you what you need to sustain your spiritual walk. And so, I just found, you know, I go to church. I've been to church so much, and I would see people come to church with such high expectations and such false expectations, certain things that just, you know, it's just like, when you're sitting back and you're reading the Bible, you're hearing some of the things that people expect. And you just say, well, why would God even ever do that? Do it that way if you understand the Bible, you know? And people live in this falsehood decades, you know, I mean, 10,
right.
20, 30, 40, 50 years. And what eventually happens is a person who lives their life with a wrong approach to the Bible or without any understanding to the Bible, they, it doesn't necessarily, you know, back in the day they would stay, now they're leaving. But back in the day they would stay there, but they would stay and be bitter and upset. You know, oppressed. Now people are just saying, you know, forget this, I'm going out and I'll do what I want to do because, you know, what I thought this was about, it ain't really like that. So it just
That's
walk
so
out
good.
And go away. Right. So I thought that if people could understand the Bible, maybe we can maintain the retention. Maybe we can stop the 80% of people that walk away from Christianity, you know, before they die. Maybe we can get some people here saved and become true believers based on the true biblical understanding and the true meaning of what it means to be a disciple.
Right.
Maybe we can make that impact. So I think that the success of Christianity really lies on the fact that on whether or not rather we understand the Bible, whether we can approach it right, and if we know how to study it correctly or not. So that was the inspiration behind that video.
Right. Man, that is really, really good, man. Because, you know, when you first started out, one of the first things I thought about was in Sunday school, you know, you would read a verse and then the teacher say, so what did that mean to you? We were getting, you know, trained to think like that, you know? Believe it or not, man. And I'm just thinking, like, okay, where'd they get that from? And, you know, that somebody else probably gave it to them, man. And instead of approaching it, you know, correctly, man, I mean, you'd be surprised. Well, you know, maybe not, because you are in South Carolina too, but man, like you said, the expectation, man, you know, the expectation, I'll say, mixed with superstition. And you can relate to me on that, you know, especially in this area, man, the expectation and superstition, man. I mean, to the point where, you know, don't put the Bible on the floor, you know,
don't write in the Bible.
No, so. That is interesting, man. Man, I'll be honest, man. This conversation is so refreshing, man. Just to know that this brother, you know, nearby, man, in my wife's hometown, you know, holding it down, man, doing his thing, man. That is really cool, man. Something I like to do as I get ready to wrap it up. You know, me, man. Everybody, I think, has their own style or whatever. I want to ask you, you know, before you called me, as you was riding, what was you listening to? What kind of music? What artists? Which way do you roll, man?
You know, man, I wasn't listening to anything today in particular, but I'm more along the traditional gospel, you know, like the Walter Hawkins and the Thomas Whitfield, if I'm gonna listen to anything.
Okay.
You know, guys like that. And it's because, and I'll tell you why, I'm a musician, actually. You know, I've been playing piano since I was about 12. I've been a musician all my life. My mom sings. My family sings. My cousins, they're all musicians. So, you know, music has been my background. And, you know, when I started playing, I listened to things because of the music. But when I got older and I started listening to the lyrics, and I began to figure out that some of the lyrics and some of the modern music, some of the modern day music that we hear today, just not biblical and it's not good theology. And I heard I can't remember who said it, but they stated that you can't have a weak theology and have a or have a great theology and have a weak doxology. That's what they said.
Right.
You can't have
right.
a great theology and have a weak doxology.
Right.
So I began to really evaluate, man, you know, what I listen to and what I, you know, incorporate in worship services and things
yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah.
of that nature. And some of the music now, it's just not, it's not appealing to me. Mm-hmm. That's just based on what I believe about the Bible. So, you know, I like to hear the music that really gets people to think about, you know, Jesus Christ and,
mm-hmm.
and get, you know, get to thinking about, what he really means to the world. And
right.
I just found out that the oldies are best for that. And
oh yeah,
I still get down with, I don't know if y'all have 89.7 up there in Greenville. Do y'all have 89.7?
Nah, don't reach us, brother. Don't reach us.
Yeah, it's changed lately, man. I haven't listened to it as much because I think they might have changed. But yeah, you know, I get with that. But you know, the old I grew up in an old, you know,
mm-hmm.
old Pentecostal feel, and they had the choirs and the
mm-hmm.
you know and all that going. And it's some of the old stuff were really good. I'd rather get with that. Now I've listened to I think R.C. Sproul has a sacred music conference every year, so. I've been looking to try to get into that. And our church actually has been going towards that direction a little more.
Sweet.
And hanging with the traditional gospel. So.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Definitely been going towards that.
Yeah, I think, I can't remember. I got it downloaded, but the recent album that Ligonier released, shoot, I can't think of it. But anyway, if I remember it, I'll put it in details. But that's cool, man.
Please do.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, as far as, like, I guess... people you listen to, like, you know, podcasts or sermons, what's on your playlist?
You know, when I first started out, my guy was John MacArthur.
Oh yeah. I think that's everybody's
like
guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm gonna tell you why I couldn't believe, man. And this is one of the inspirations for me doing what I did when I first started getting into pastoral ministry. We started doing surveys of books of the Bible. Like
mm-hmm.
we started off and we did Ephesians and
mm-hmm.
we did the whole book of Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Then we did Exodus, and I got that concept from him because
mm-hmm.
he stated that he had been in this church all these years, and I think maybe, 40 years after they had finally gotten through the New Testament or something like that. It was
yeah,
a long
yeah.
span of time, and I'm like, goodness gracious, what were the people like after 40 years of solid teaching like that?
Right,
you know,
right.
You know, consistent teaching on a particular you know, subject matter. And I tried that and it worked, man. It was really good. And people, I mean, who had been in church all these many years, they were just like, wow, you know, I mean, I never saw it that way. So John MacArthur
yeah.
for sure has been for a long time on my playlist. But my all-time favorite, and I would say in the reform camp, I put it that way, is R.C. Sproul.
Oh, yeah.
And I love him because for two reasons. The first reason is his respect. And his, I won't say his respect, but his dependency, I guess that's a bad word, but that's for lack of a better word, his reliance on history. He
mm-hmm,
has more of a
mm-hmm.
like, he when he teaches,
yes.
it's from a historical standpoint, and I'm really big on history. I love history. I love
mm-hmm.
biblical history, any type of history. And I also like his eschatological position.
Gotcha.
Most people put
yep.
him in the camp of a partial preterist or, you know,
mm-hmm.
or around there. So I love that versus I saw him in John MacArthur do a debate on infant baptism.
Yeah,
I think
yeah, yeah.
one of the main differences was the eschatological position between those.
Oh, yeah.
They're kind of different. And so, you know, whereas RC is kind of for it and John MacArthur is like, no. I think it's a major difference between the way they look at eschatology. So I like his position on that a lot more than a lot of other
yeah.
Reformers and things. So yeah. R.C.
Yeah,
Sproul, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I think John is a pre-mill.
Yep.
I think
yep, he is.
Yeah, I think he's a pre-mill.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a whole nother show. But go ahead. What's next? I wanna know.
Yeah. R.C. Sproul, John MacArthur.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to a little of John Piper. I listen to a little of John Piper.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much as the other two. I don't really. He's a. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He's something. Something. You say no.
Yeah, okay, move along. That's nah, I would say old John, man. Nah, I mean, no disrespect, man. John Piper is definitely definitely a pillar.
Sure.
Definitely. But keep going.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you another guy that may not, that you would probably say no to, but I like him though. I like listening to him.
Okay.
And that's N.T. Wright. I like N.T. Wright for some reason. And the reason I do I think he challenges theology from the same perspective that R.C. would challenge it from,
okay,
but maybe
okay.
with a different twist. And that's from history. I love history, man. So
that's real.
You know, whenever you come up with history, and I'm looking at you, you know, and mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out how are you, you know, refuting, you know, tradition with, you know, with mm-hmm. what you're saying is historically sound. So I listened to him really a whole lot. I enjoyed his book. As a matter of fact, I bought John Piper and I bought his book when they were going that feud back and forth and they were writing mm-hmm. books with each other. Bought all of that and that was just that was amazing. R.C. John MacArthur, N.T. Wright. I also like Alistair McGrath. I love him too.
Okay.
He comes in with a little twist and he puts some things there. You know. I'm all over the place with the guys I listen to, and I guess that's because I'm open to hear what anybody has to say.
Right.
If they can say it intelligently and logically, so that I can kind of dig in and sharpen myself with what I believe. But yeah, those guys right now I've been listening to a whole lot, and even though it seems to me that they are a bit redundant, not RC, but more so NT Wright and some of the other guys, they're a little redundant in what they're saying. It's just the way that they say it, and I think one of the advantages that NT has is that whenever he says something, he has about 1,000 different ways to say it. Mm-hmm. He has like 1,000 different approaches that he can take to it, and it's hard to refute something when you have that many ways of saying the same thing, you know. So
that's an intelligent dude, man.
He is. He's got a lot going for him, so
it's
cool, man. That's what's on my list right now. Yeah.
All right. Well, make sure you add the bar to your list, man. You know, check us out,
listen,
man.
You already know. You already know the bars on the list.
Make sure you put them somewhere in there, man. You know, on that 45-minute commute, man. You know,
there you go, bro. You know, I got it.
Yes, sir, man. Well, brother, it has been a pleasure to do this interview with you, man. Definitely appreciate you taking time out. Hey, are you familiar with Mission Aware?
Mission Aware. I'm not familiar with it.
Okay. No, Mission Aware is actually, they have like Reform t-shirts and hats and mugs and
Charles Spurgeon.
Mission Aware is one of our new sponsors, man. And so you're definitely welcome to do this to support us, man. But if you go to Mission Aware and you type in the discount code BAR, you get a discount on your gear as well as you support the podcast, man. So I think you need to invest in the bar while you're out.
Hey, listen, you know I will, man. I will definitely, absolutely.
Yes, sir.
It, man. But thank you for letting me know about that.
Yeah,
I wasn't
man.
Aware they were sponsored. I definitely got to support now. Absolutely.
Yeah, Mission Aware, man. MissionAware.com. And I definitely had that in the show details as well. Definitely had to give them a plug because they are our new sponsor.
Absolutely.
Any last words you want to say to the people as we conclude?
Well, I mean, I just want to say thank you for having me, man. And it was a pleasure to firstly meet you and to come in contact and get the connection. And it's an even greater pleasure to be here on the bar. Keep doing what you're doing. Y'all keep listening and supporting. He has great information and great things out there. And I hope we can get back together again real soon, man.
Most deaf. We're going to be in contact. And then, you know, I got to have you back, man, whenever, you know, I start cycling on my on my interviews. Like, hey, man, you free?
Hey, anytime, man. I'm available, man. Just let me know, all right?
That's what's up, bro. I really appreciate you again, man. Thank you again. And to my listeners out there, make sure you guys check out the brand new Bar Facebook page. That's right. The Bar has its own Facebook page. You just put in www.facebook.com/TheBar, and you will find the brand new Bar Facebook page. We're also on Twitter, and you can find us at @thebar_podcast. And we're also on Instagram @thebar_podcast. So make sure you check us out there. And also make sure you check out Let's Talk Theology. I'm going to put all of his stuff, his YouTube link, his Instagram, anything else he has, the photography company. If you need your pictures taken in South Carolina, holler at my man. He got good pictures. I'm going to get him to take mine so I can have a nice website and all that. And I'm saying this all on the radio so he can't pull out. And with all that being said, God bless you. We out of here.
Before I go, I like to do this every time I get a chance, and that is expose you guys to some good music. So today I ran across Mr. Sean C. Johnson, a song called Luke Cage, Bulletproof Soul, man. Basically talking about your security and your salvation. And man, when I tell you this song, it is right there in the stream, man, of all the stuff that I like, man. I think one of the comments somebody made was like, this is a song that sounds like Duele and D'Angelo was sitting on a church pew and made this up, man. I mean, it just has that flow, and that's the kind of music that I love. So check this out, man. Sean C. Johnson. You can actually download it free. I'm gonna put the link in the podcast notes, but you can download it free. And this song is called Luke Cage, Bulletproof Soul. Hope you guys enjoy it. Special way. You know, we need to make it happen like yesterday. You know.
I promise you, I said that I could never play the fool. The chains are broken, now the joke's on you. I find turns out the soldier at this bulletproof. You're bulletproof. Running, I could barely crawl. My back was against the wall. She suspended it all. Oh, to heal my own. You are born white as snow. White as snow. White as snow. All my sins you wash. White as snow. White as snow. My soul is bulletproof. My soul is bulletproof. My soul is bulletproof. Nothing can separate us from your loving grace. Jesus paid it all. Oh, to him my own. You are white as snow. White as snow. White as snow. All my sins you washed. White as snow. White as snow. My soul is bulletproof. My soul is bulletproof. My soul is bulletproof. You can't take it away.
Jokes on you, high five. I'm bulletproof.